When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office, by fans of The Office. I'm your host and regional director in charge of sales, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin Janes, junior employee.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse is not with us, as always at the moment. Alex will be joining halfway through the show. We'll all be tag teaming this episode. Schedules just didn't line up this week. But this week we will be doing a voicemail bag. We have our phone number that we give you guys at the end of the show, and we have people call and leave us messages, and we've got some good ones this week.
Yes, Alex will be joining myself for part two, so it'll be Sean and I for this first half, and then we'll take a quick break, go to Alex and I for part two. But for this week, we did want to jump back into the voicemail bag and answer some questions, answer some messages from listeners. We always love when people call in and give us opinions, takes, things we miss, things to consider, questions. And we always appreciate just everyone listening and interacting with us in this way. So I think without further ado, let's jump into that first voicemail.
That's right. Let's listen to this voicemail that was sent in by an anonymous caller.
I love this hog mama.
What do you think about that, Edwin? Do you love this hog mama?
I do love this hog mama, whatever it is. Yeah, every bit of Dwight's Pennsylvania Dutch Christmas I love.
Always love a good quick voicemail like that, but let's listen to...
You know what? I love those voicemails too. Like, we get such a wide variety. Sometimes, you know, Hey Rock 107 is my 107th caller. I need paper. Any of that, I love it. Paper. Always welcome. Yeah. That alongside any of the longer questions and things like that, we love them all. So thank you.
All right. Well, this next one comes to us from Austin.
Hello, Rock 107. Am I the 107th caller? Hi, this is Austin from Texas. And I wanted to see what you guys thought about Michael as a father. The reason I'm asking is because in the Superfan episode of The Baby Shower, we see Michael have this moment with Astrid, and he reveals that his dad was an absentee father, and he doesn't want that for her, which I think is a kind of a complex element of Michael's character. But I was wondering, what do you think he's like as a father with his kids? Do they hate him? Do they love him? Does he think he's one of the kids? Also, what do the parents of the kids at his kid's school think about Michael? Anyway, love the work you guys do. Keep up the good work. And thanks. I'm totally going to win us that box set.
Awesome. Thank you, Austin. Edwin, I think you went back and found this moment that he's talking about.
Yeah, this is a super interesting thing to consider. I haven't watched all of these season 5 Superfan episodes yet, in part because I kind of want to save them and watch them as we go. Watch them, and as we do individual episodes, we want to be able to dip into that and experience that for the first time. So I've watched a few of them. I think Lecture Circuit most recently. I watch Out of Order, which some listeners have told us or me is crazy. but anyway, I did go back to watch this Baby Shower episode to find that moment. And it's true. There is a really unique moment that they cut in that was left on the cutting room floor from the original of Michael holding Astrid and talking about how his dad wasn't there for him, but how Astrid was probably going to be okay. It's really sort of heartbreaking and sad, but kind of beautiful. And I think of all the deleted scenes that they leave out, this is one of the ones that seems to have the most sort of implications on plot and Michael's character. I would love to do this episode as an individual episode of our podcast to talk about this more with you guys. So diving into it more and knowing that I think you haven't watched it as recently, let's go to the actual question. Thank you again, Austin, which is what about Michael as a father?
Yeah.
Do his kids hate him or love him? Do they think he's one of the kids too? The parents at the school? Like, how do you think Michael is as a father? And I think we're assuming that Michael's kids are a little bit older now.
Yeah, I just, you know, and maybe it's just because you want the best for him. I do imagine that everything is good with him and Holly and the kids, and that the kids love the parents, and that that there's a lot of laughter in that house. That's how I like to imagine it. I don't know. You know, maybe it's Michael screwing up all the time and his entire family just being like, oh, Michael. Oh, Dad.
I imagine that there's a little bit of a corrective sort of influence that his kids kind of have on Michael, similar to the way that Holly kind of gets Michael to grow up a little bit and just kind of grow as a person. I imagine he'd have a sort of a similar sort of evolution once his kids are born. I still imagine him getting into making a lot of people around him, like at the school or whatever, like very, very uncomfortable with just kind of the way that Michael is and just kind of ruining everything. I mean, Michael says himself, and later, when I'm ruining everything, you're going to wish I was on your side. So I imagine there's a lot of that. Michael is kind of a tornado that kind of demolishes a lot of things in his path. But I imagine that the kids would be a good influence on him. One thing that I'm actually almost more curious about is I can imagine him being a fellow parent at soccer games and you know, back to school nights and things like that, and what that must be like for other parents. It must be kind of like when Michael's in improv class, he wants to be the center of attention.
Is it like Michael in improv class, or is it like Michael at the call center?
There you go. That's a good, you know? A good comparison. Yeah.
Just regaling them with all his movie criticisms.
The other thing that I wonder is, how are Michael's kids? Do you think Michael's kids take after him and want to be the center of attention, want to be a class clown, want to have that same kind of impact as Michael?
I highly doubt it, because just like you know, just like Austin was saying, you know, Michael had this childhood that was not so loving, maybe as what he and Holly are providing for his kids. So I would imagine that they are content not always being the center of attention.
With the way that Michael brings back that bag of orange slices from the baseball game, makes me wonder how he would be at soccer games. Like that.
That's a good point. thank you so much, Austin. And Edwin, we should definitely revisit that super fan episode. Mm-hmm.
I think one thing again to mention is that since it's just Sean and I, we don't have drops for this portion of the episode, but when Alex and I get together, we'll make sure to have some.
This next one comes to us from Jacob.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? Jacob Dunnermuth from Phoenix again. Hey, just a tag on my last episode. I'm going to say this at the end. Hence the tag. Edwin, are we convinced that Andy's saying apple bottom drilling? I've heard you guys bounce around. I've proposed it in a voicemail before. What is he actually saying? I'm reading a thing on Reddit right now. This guy said, I just realized Andy is saying Palpabon drilling, PALPABON, at Papa Alpha Lima, Papa Alpha Bravo, Oscar November, phonetic callback. Where do we stand, boys? I need some hard truths. OfficeQuotes.com, couldn't even find it on there for some reason. This is a call out to you guys and a call out to the listeners. Let's get a solid answer on this, please. Thank you, guys. Love you. Catch you later.
Awesome.
Okay. Thank you, Jacob. So
I love the spelling, the phonetic.
Yes, that's important.
So, I love that.
Yeah, I think I went back to watch this episode, and you can pause the show, and you can see very clearly on the suite breakdown that lists all the businesses, it is Papelbon Drilling. And in the subtitles for the episode on Peacock, they also call it Papelbon Drilling. So what? It is not. I don't know why we always just said apple bottom drilling. It sounds phonetically pretty similar.
I thought it was. I actually thought it was apple bomb, like it was, or like B A U M, like it, as if it was somebody's name or something.
Oh, like Benita Applebum.
Yeah, exactly. yes, precisely.
There we go. We stand corrected after however many.
No kidding.
Or maybe more well informed after however many rewatches of The Office to see this new update. And it makes sense. I mean,
still learning.
It's just a fictional business name. It's not a, you know, it doesn't really. It's just a line. Andy only says it twice. He sings it a couple times. I think I never even really thought twice about what he said. I think maybe Sean in some of the early recordings of this show, maybe you said it once or twice, but I can't forget it. I think about it like it's one of my favorite Office musical moments.
Alpabon drilling. Alpabon
drilling.
Yeah. It's we've definitely mentioned it as an earworm before, and yet this whole time we've had it wrong.
So, Benita Applebum drilling. Yeah.
Love it. You got it going on.
So there we go. There we go. You learn something new every day.
Thanks, Jacob. This next one comes to us from Amy.
Hey guys, this is Amy Burke from Centerburg, Ohio. First, wanted to just say how much I enjoy your podcast and what a great job you all are doing. And second, I wanted to ask you all a question inspired by one of my favorite lines on The Office. What is your favorite outfit or ensemble worn on The Office by any character and why? Fashion show, fashion show, fashion show at lunch. Thanks again.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Amy. What a great question. Edwin, do you have any outfits or ensembles that you love on The Office?
There are two that come to mind for me, and I guess they might be sort of natural picks. But number one is Andy Bernard, and the outfit that I'm thinking of specifically is in The List in season 8, episode 1, when Andy is first revealed as manager. Everyone who has been listed as a winner is having lunch with Robert California, and Andy is back trying to get them excited. It is pizza party, And for whatever reason, I love the suit that he's wearing. It's like light gray.
Yeah.
He's got like a light blue shirt and like this like blue and pink kind of tie. I think it's a new season, and as the show goes on, the colors get a little bit brighter. Characters are dressed differently. It's not nearly as drab and sort of pale as it appears in season 1 and 2. And I think, for whatever reason, that suit just kind of pops a little more on screen, and it kind of represents a different look for the manager, which has been Michael up to this point.
Yeah.
With the exceptions being, you know, Jim as co-manager, Dwight in case you're an acting manager, Dwight in the job, et cetera. But that suit from Andy, I think, it just looks different. It's very, to me, it stands out quite a bit. And the other character that I thought of was Erin, because Erin is, I guess a lot of the female characters are, they have more variance in their wardrobe throughout the show because a lot of the male characters wear very similar shirt and tie kind of outfits. Mm-hmm. Dwight has his mustard shirts. Daryl has the button down with the little triangle of undershirt that we see. Jim has a very consistent outfit. Andy changes quite a bit. But Erin is the character that I thought of. And I was trying to look up the – I think it's in Moving On. She has like this green sweater that has like polka dots or hearts on it. That's the other one that I thought of, but
nice. Okay. Well, I think my my number one is Dwight K. Schrute, Pretty Women version.
There's a movie, Beautiful Girl.
Yeah. Nope. Let him do it. No, this is a, I mean, it's so good. I mean, certainly he changes his hair. I love the ascot with the mustard shirt that they're it's I love that he didn't change his shirt. I think that that's just it's just a level, you know, it's just a new and improved version of the same Dwight. That was definitely my number one, just because it's so fabulous and so funny. I think number two, the thing that came to mind right away, just because, you know, I love these clothes, is Andy Bernard in Michael Scott Paper Company as a hunter.
Nope, clearly a hunter.
Clearly a hunter. Oh, man, I wish I could get into hunting just for the clothes, but I guess I can. Well, thank you, Amy.
Yeah, this is an interesting question because I wanted to try to come up with a more serious answer because it'd be very easy to talk about Michael Klump or
right.
I don't know, any other number of ridiculous outfits that the characters wear. But as far as costuming goes, I think Kelly Kapoor also has a lot of great costumes.
Or, yes, she does.
Outfits, I should say, on the show.
Yeah, but, yeah. This next question comes to us from Landon.
Hey, guys, this is Landon from Utah. I was just watching Goodbye Michael Part 1. It's been a long time since I've seen it, now that I think about it. And it's Michael sitting up on top of the building, getting used to the elevation. And after his debate with Dwight, he says, so should I keep a salami in my pants? And Dwight just railed him. And he's like, you are a salami to a black bear. And then, I never caught this before, Michael just goes, okay, well, what about a pepperoni? And then he starts to snicker, and it's so obvious that he is just messing with Dwight at this point. He's not belittling Dwight like he used to, and I just think it was a beautiful way of, like, the show showing Michael grown up. It was really interesting. One thing I wanted to ask you guys is, what is your favorite grown-up Michael moment that you do see? Anyways, did you crush out?
Thanks, Landon. I think that I probably didn't notice that the first couple watches either. It is really subtle. I feel like it's even more just the camera just sort of zooms in on Michael and he kind of just starts to smile or something like that. He is very clearly messing with Dwight in that moment. Or I don't know. It's sweet in that it's like, you know, Michael just wants to have another conversation like this with Dwight. Like, you know,
Dwight likes to feel authoritative and knowledgeable about these situations and to deliver this kind of instruction. It's similar when he comes in and says, pastry cubes full of sugar and fat? No, thank you. I'll stick to my jerky. And then they say, why did you even come in here? And he says, to inform and to socialize. And I think that's kind of what Dwight is doing in this moment, too. So Michael is just kind of humoring Dwight a little bit, allowing him to kind of deliver these facts about bears and the different meats that Michael would be like in tight pants to a bear. But I agree. I think in a different version of the show, or I should say an earlier season of the show, Michael might argue with Dwight or say, come on, Dwight, like, and not really give him the time of day as far as this kind of thing goes. But this is the most evolved version of Michael that we see. This is Goodbye Michael. So I guess we see so many grown-up Michael moments in season 7. What other moments can you think of?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, like, you know, ones that always come to mind are Did I Stutter? You know, Michael being, you know, realizing, hey, it's okay, you know, you don't have to respect me, but you can't treat me that way, is certainly a good one. Michael deciding not to, I didn't have one straight in my mind, sorry.
I can give you one. I'm glad you thought of one from earlier than season 7, because those, I think there are a number of examples kind of within that season. So I'm glad you brought up Did I Stutter. That is a really good Michael moment where he does kind of show that awareness, I guess, or he does deal with that situation, I think, effectively. The one that comes to mind for me is also from Goodbye Michael, which is when he gives Oscar that little gift.
Yeah.
He just accepts it. And Michael is laughing and he says he has the lowest opinion of me of anyone. And I think the reason I like that moment so much is just because Oscar has this low opinion of Michael, but that doesn't mean that Michael has a low opinion of himself. And
right.
He can just kind of accept it and he can get a laugh for himself out of it. And I just appreciate that particular moment.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, I think I was trying to put this one together in my mind. I know it's when Ryan has him do a lecture at his school, and you know, he's really upset with Ryan in the end, and Ryan's saying sorry, and he's like, a good, you know, manager doesn't fire people, he hires people and inspires people. But what does he do after that? Does he put her back in the annex with the Kelly? Yeah, exactly. I love that moment.
School, yeah. I don't know if Michael was trying to punish me by putting Ryan back in the annex, but if so, genius.
Two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Thank you, Landon. This next one comes to us from Alicia.
Hi, Hi, MSPC. I'm Alicia from Charlotte, North Carolina.
I'm a candle maker, but you don't hear me bragging about it.
I really do own a small candle business, but I don't have employees yet, so listening to you guys all day makes me feel like I have subordinates. I love you guys. Don't cross me, but you're the best. Anyways, last week you did drinks from the office, so this week I wanted to challenge you to make candles inspired by the show. I'd love to make a candle called Big Package, but I don't think anyone would want a candle that smells like the thing in Michael's office. Which, although it'd be really funny, it's not entirely something that you could sell. Sean, welcome to North Kakalaki, and if you have time, reserve a slot at Mac Tabby. They're in Noda and Concord, and they serve local beer and coffee. Me and my boyfriend Joe go every single week for a date day. So you can sit there and play with 12 adoptable cats, drink beer, eat pastries. Just don't catch any rabies. Anyways, can't wait to hear what you guys come up with, and I'll listen to you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks, Alicia.
The great message. I love the
thank you for
drop.
The
amazing. Yeah.
She had a drop.
She
in
had
her
a drop.
Message.
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you for the warm welcome to North Kakalaki, which I've not heard that nickety name before. I know exactly what you're talking about, Mac Tabby Cafe, and thank you for the recommendation. I'm definitely going to do that because I miss my cat. But to your question, I love that you're a real candle maker and we are your subordinates. Let's come up with some new candle ideas themed around the office. Edwin, do you have any?
Well, one comes to mind immediately, which is the scented candle, the gym found in the men's bathroom, room, represents the eternal burning of competition or something. Kevin says, yeah. Smells like cookies. That it does, my friend. That would be the scent. The eternal burning of competition. It would smell like cookies.
That is... Oh, man, I don't have a better one than that. That's really good. Man, I don't know. I don't know what you could really... I mean, I think I would err on the side of making actually good candles and then coming up with funny names for them rather than, trying to make, say, campfire.
Bonfire? James Bonfire? That's an easy one. James Bonfire.
Maybe that's more of like a Palo Santo or something. You could have something more like a pine that is a Survivor Man or something like that.
I like that. That's kind of abstract. I like that.
Yeah. You could have like Dash of Cinnamon, which is Pam in New York or something like that.
Oh, Sprinkle of Cinnamon?
Sprinkle of Cinnamon, yeah.
I like you could do a Nutcracker candle. Christmas. The Christmas ones could be easy.
Oh, yeah.
Nutcracker Christmas, Margarita Karaoke Christmas, Classy Christmas.
Yeah. Moroccan Benihana Christmas. It just smells like fried teriyaki.
How about Tapas Swissmas?
There you go.
Yeah.
Like a spicy chocolatey scent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go. I mean, God, I could feel like we could come up with candle names forever. Can we come up with any more?
Yeah. I think you could take something from the garden party. I think you could do them. You could do the Robert. It could be like Robert California's gift, and it could either be it could be orange and basil, the marmalade and the basil plant. It's hard not to go to food. You know, like you want this
totally
pleasant scents. So, yeah,
totally.
Finer Things Club.
Very nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of, like, can you slaughter the goats the day before? And then it would just be a candle that just smells like, fresh air or something.
It'll all be goat.
It'll all be goat. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all I have time for this week. Thanks for hanging out, Edwin. Have a good time with Alex.
Thank you. Alex and I will pick it up after a short break. But now, for Sean, it's time to say goodbye.
And just like that, as mysteriously as he arrived, he was gone.
No one has a business like yours, with all its strengths and challenges. To succeed, you need a hiring partner that adapts to your needs. You need Indeed. Indeed is the hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring partner that can help you do it all. Find great talent faster through time-saving tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. With Instant Match, over 80% of employers get quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job, according to Indeed Data US. One of the things that I love about Indeed is that it helps the applicants to shine with over 135 assessment tests from cooking to coding. Indeed's assessments take the stress out of the interview process. Your candidates get to prove themselves before the interview, and you can dive deeper into talking about what's important to you. With Indeed assessments, you can select for the skills that matter to you most. And from a selection of over 100 hard and soft skills to test to your job post, you can hone in on the candidates with the right skills faster. Indeed assessments can even give you a window into how candidates will be on the job. On average, applicants who scored highly proficient or higher on the reliability assessment were nearly 8 times more likely to consistently attend work, according to U.S. Indeed data. Even better, Indeed is the only job site where you pay for applications that meet your must-have requirements. So start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/Scott. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/Scott. That's Indeed.com/Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Hello and welcome back to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, already in progress. This is part two of our voicemail episode where I, Edwin Jace, will be joined by our producer, Alex, down in the warehouse.
Why, hello, everybody. I sit down, Holly.
I'll take it from here.
Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed the first half with Sean. Sounded great, guys. I haven't listened to it that closely, but I will be editing it together tonight or in the morning. So looking forward to that. How'd it go?
It was good. It was good. It was a nice chance to touch base with Sean before he goes to interview for that corporate job in New York. So
I haven't done many recordings where I'm not there. The only other one was the Threat Level Midnight, like half of that episode, which was 2 years ago. Now.
Timelines are fuzzy.
Yeah, who knows? but boy, nice to get away from you two for 1 weekend.
Yeah, what were you doing? Yeah, back
in. I was running the Cascade Lakes Relay race here in Oregon, which goes from a place called Diamond Lake all the way to Bend, Oregon, if you've heard that. So about a 216-mile relay race, teams of 12. Had an absolute blast. But yeah, I was unavailable all weekend because of it. So I'll say this, though. Each team has two vans, and you kind of leapfrog each other, and you run for, like, basically your six runners. You run for, like, 6 hours, and then you trade with the other van, and you go crash for a couple hours, and then you do it again. One of the teams, their van, their whole team was, like, office-themed. And so their team name was called, I don't think it was called That's What She Said. That's what they wrote on their vehicles.
Uh-huh.
But they wrote the full Fun Run t-shirt text on the back of their van. So I think that was their official team name.
Wow.
Which was really funny because they had to, like, fit it on the bib. So it just said, like, the Michael Scott Fun Run race, and then it cut off. But they, both of their vans all weekend would, with car paint, just write That's What She Said that they overheard from everyone else that didn't realize they were saying That's What She Said for the whole weekend. So there was just imagine a van just full of those sayings all over. And, you know, it's all a relay race. It's running, and it was like 98 degrees, and it's at like 4,000 feet. So it was very hot. Mm. So a lot of things like, I have no moisture left in me. That's the hottest it's ever been. Yeah, just a lot of stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, of course.
I can't even spit was one. that felt so that felt so good to get sprayed was one. Anyway, little office time. But yeah, that's where I was. But I'm back now on the saddle.
Well, hey, congrats, man. I know you've been training for that for a little bit. And for the listeners, Alex is fast. To give you a reference, he's somewhere between a snake and a mongoose. And just this last weekend, he outran a black pepper snake. So,
that's right, I did. That was the scariest leg of my life.
But let's jump back into these voicemails. Or did you want to start with a quick shout out?
Just a quick shout out, because we got a tweet here from Dave Waters, who's hit us up on Twitter a bunch, longtime fan of the show. Seems like a great guy. But anyway, he went to DunderCon.
Oh.
Last week, I believe it was last weekend. Yeah. While I was at the race. And something we definitely have to go to, or rather something we should be invited to. So anyone out there who has strings, please pull them for us. But anyway, I'll show you this. So he sent us a picture of going around to the booths, and they've got these little, like, I don't know if you can see that. I'm showing everyone on the camera. Mm-hmm. But that's him. He went to Isabel's booth, uh-huh. and it's a picture of him getting whacked on the head. and like, looking at the merch in this picture, she's selling. She has all these T-shirts that just say whack on it, which is really funny. Yeah, anyway, but then, like,
you gotta own the catchphrase. You gotta own your catchphrase.
Oh, totally. Next to her is the woman who played Jamie. Anyway, there's a whole bunch of
Jamie, the high school student.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So it's like tons of actors that have the small roles are all there. Like, we would have a field day.
We would have
there,
a good time.
Like,
yeah. The...
We could have such a big panel, like, live podcast there.
That would be really fun.
But the other thing Dave said was, most of the celebrities are just at the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah, says, of course,
this,
right?
So this morning we had breakfast sitting between Hiday from The Warehouse and Cool Guy Paul from The Five Families. Now, I can't imagine it was Hiday, because didn't he pass away?
No.
Who am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm thinking of Hank.
Oh, Hank, of course.
Sorry, Hank, yeah. Not Hiday. But yeah, sitting between Hiday and Cool Guy Paul. Mm-hmm. What a breakfast. I'd like to hear more about that. Anyway, Paul Faust, I think, is Cool Guy Paul. That's mm-hmm. the full name. Yeah. Anyway, little shout out there. But do you want to get into some voicemails?
No, thank you for... Yeah. Yes, I do.
Yes, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Any other DunderCon reports, hit us up. I think there might have been a couple in the email, but we'll get to them eventually. Anyway. All right, let's go straight into these voicemails. Let's go to Rachel.
Hey, guys. It's Rachel from New York City. So I had a question, and I wanted to tell someone, but no one in my life is a big enough of an Office fan that I could tell it to, so I had to call you guys to ask. Little backstory, when I was working my 9-to-5, we had to go do an escape room for team building, and it was Office themed, not The Office, unfortunately. But I was thinking how fun that would be if there really was an escape room that was themed like the show. There could be really cool clues. The best thing I could think of with, I was trying to brainstorm something funny, but the best thing I could think of was Michael's Rolodex coding. So if something's green, you know to go ahead and shut up about it. Something like that would just be really fun. So what do you think some cool puzzles or clues could be in the room? Thanks, guys. Bye.
This is a great question.
Wow, Rachel, great question. The Rolodex idea is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
When I think Office themed escape room, I actually don't think like the Scranton office. I'm thinking of the Michael Scott Paper Company office. Like, it feels more conducive to that. But I've never actually done an escape room. Have you, Edmund?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. I don't know exactly how it works. I've seen them done.
On
TV
video
shows and stuff.
Well, in sketches or things right. like that.
Mainly Conan is what I'm.
Yeah, that's
of.
What I'm thinking of too. But
I knew that you were
naturally. I do think that you would have to involve some kind of, if you were going to really make an Office theme, it'd be nice to have like quotes or audio similar to the way that we have drops, to have audio from the show to kind of give you a prompt versus someone pretending to be Dwight over an intercom or a speaker or something like that. You know.
Computron?
Yeah. I'm thinking, for example, that they would Computron, that they would get to one of the last things in this escape room would be a locked drawer at Michael's desk, and the audio prompt would be, Pam, there's a loaded gun in my desk drawer, and I want you to use it if I ever, you know. So something like that, or a different drawer that is filled with all the letters cut up from magazines. You can do a lot with Michael's office and what's
yes.
going on.
I mean, if you were going to make the whole... Yes, Granton office in play. There's no shortage of it. I think the last step, like to get the key to get out, that key should be in a Jell-O mold, like in some desk. It would be like the last thing you do is dig it out of the Jell-O. I think the whole scenario, like the story, could do something around Dwight's doomsday counter.
Oh, that's
and, like,
great!
It starts an hour and a half timer or whatever, and so you'd have Dwight's voice would be everywhere. And like he would try to be thwart your every at every turn and be all like Dwight's tricks. And then you'd have a lot of like Jim's pranks inside of those his puzzles. Mm-hmm. Maybe Moe's built a puzzle for that. You like puzzles in games? Michael's office, yeah, he's got the orb thing you could do something with. You could dig through some meatballs in Stanley's desk.
There could be a decoy clue where someone gets hit with a snowball, and then Dwight's voice says, "You thought your cute nicknames, little did you know your cute nicknames would be your undoing."
At some point, a cell phone could start ringing, mm-hmm. and it would be in the ceiling, much like Andy's ringtone.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you got to figure out where the phone is mm-hmm. somewhere in there. Maybe at one point you need to pull up carpet to find a trap door that's beautiful hardwood or something.
Or you need to find the iPod within a bunch of random gifts or something like that.
Yeah. You could open a closet and it says find LaFonda at the alcohol club. You could find a certain jelly bean within the thing at reception, mm-hmm. something, or in Kevin's jar. I feel like you'd have to touch on every character. Character would have their own little puzzle. Mm-hmm. So what that would be, I don't know. Maybe there's something at the bottle of a bottle of liquor in Meredith's desk. You got to drink the whole thing.
Or at the bottom of Kevin's jar of M&Ms.
Yep.
There is, something about seeing the four-toed creed. There's no end. Yeah.
There's so many things you could do.
A Dundee, or not a Dundee, the yogurt lid from a particular year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. There's so many puzzles, all the reams of paper and the shelving everywhere. There's just so much stuff you could put there. You could do something with all the local area flyers. You have to solve a puzzle with the phone numbers on all the different flyers mm-hmm. and then make a call from one of their phones.
Find a bag of Hershey chips.
There could be a Kevin and reception phone system going on where you don't know where the next call's going.
Your phone call is very important to us.
Yeah. You have to call in the right sequence between desks mm-hmm. to unlock.
Otherwise, anyway. You're killing the Nard Dog. But no, I love this. I love this question. We
got a lot of ideas. That's a fun idea. I'm surprised that there isn't one unless there is somewhere, which there probably is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a great question, Rachel. We want to hear your pitches, but that one's fun. Okay. Let's move on, shall we?
Let's see.
This is going to Allison.
Hey, guys. This is Allison from Denton, Texas. One of the many Allisons, it seems, in your fan group.
We do have a lot of Allisons.
I'm the one who shares my name with the great Allison Jones. So I was listening to an episode recently when you all were talking about your various musical endeavors, and I always enjoy hearing about your projects that you've done together and with other friends, because friendship is the music of life.
Love it.
And I think later in that episode, y'all were talking about Kenny, and I just wanted to say that Kenny and the Jet Skis would be a great name for an office-themed band. That's the only reason I'm calling. All right. Thanks for everything. You guys are awesome. Love you. Later, skaters.
That's so good. That's so good that we can.
That is unbelievably good.
Mm-hmm. Kenny and the Jet Skis. Yeah. It's.
Perfect. I mean, as a trivia, everyone who's doing office trivia, please use that. That is incredible for a team name. But I was that'd be a great office cover band. I was wait, cover of what? doing the bits, but you could all dress as office characters. Mm-hmm. But it's a kind of a deep, even that name is a little bit of a deep cut for a casual office fan. Mm-hmm. If you said Kenny and the Jet Skis, they might not know.
Trivia team name would be perfect. But that, I mean, well, first of all, thank you, Allison. But this begs the question: what are some other office band names?
Oh my God.
We can just name a couple. We did. We just had a question like this where we were coming up with things like this. But a couple that come to mind. I mean, it's funny with a band name because if you go too deep, if the cut is too deep, it's hard to be understandable to a lot of people. So some of the ones that came to mind first are Shoo La La, Dunder Mifflin Infinity, Party Planning Committee. But that's so obvious. And then you have something
how about a punk band named Worm Guy?
Yeah, that's cool. That's kind of how you would have to take it. Is
like, it's a joke for you, but it's not even necessarily. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an Office fan to like appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a lot.
Your blues band could just be da na 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 na.
A folk band called And Gaby Makes Three. I was thinking of The Devil Makes Three. Okay.
The Finer Things. Oh, man. All right. Bluegrass band, The Finer Strings Club.
Oh! That's why Edwin is the only salaried host of this podcast, folks. That's really good.
That's they pay me in celery because those that can't farm celery.
Wow. Yeah. Pretzel Day is pretty good.
Pretzel Day's good. NBC Beats, something like that.
Maybe a blues band called Texas Justice.
Shroot Farms Beats, and then it's like dance music.
Beats by Shroot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, what that this is like. This is such a big. We could probably come up with a list of several hundred. Mm-hmm. How about a folk duo called Pair of Marys?
It's like those kind of folk bands where it's like a guy and a girl, and they sing like into this microphone at the same time. Like,
I was thinking like our two friends named Mary. You know, they get like just have to be a pair of Marys. Would be awesome. Oh boy, Big Tuna.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a. I feel like that's more
play
of a
like,
classic rock.
Or you play,
I'm thinking like, yeah, go ahead.
Big Tuna, you would play like surf rock.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Big
Katuna, like,
it'd be like,
Big Tuna is definitely a surf. Yeah, like the genre of the band really matters.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot.
Yeah.
So we've covered most of the genres. We have a punk name, we got a folk name, we got bluegrass.
Yeah.
Big Tuna for a surf rock band. I kind of want to start that now. Mm-hmm. That's pretty darn good.
But no, we could do this all day, but
yeah. I mean, why not? Now I'm looking at all the drops. Like there's just so many. There's so many options. Anyway.
Kahlua Sombrero. Yeah.
Suck It. Got another punk name.
Yeah.
I don't know. How about like a like a Cajun Zydeco band or something called Hog Mama.
You weren't here for this, but we had somebody just call and say, I love this Hog Mama.
Oh, really?
That was the first voicemail in this episode. Yeah.
Should, but short. Be good. Anyway. Wow. Yeah. We could do this forever. What a great topic. Mm. Booze fueled sex romp. Viagra Falls.
Mm.
Anyway, let's move on. That could go on forever. Thank you, Allison. Great question. All right, moving on here to
it wasn't Patrick. It wasn't even a question. It was just a great band name.
A great band name. Mm-hmm. Kenny and the Jet Skis.
Yeah.
God bless you. All right, let's move on to Patrick.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? Patrick from Central Illinois again. Just driving into work on a rainy morning here. You know, all the drivers are just... they're the worst. The roads are the slickest in the first half hour of rain. Just wanted to ask you guys a question. Listening to the last episode, Local Ad, I was wondering, you guys got to talk about your Second Life characters and what you would do, and I realized I have no idea what you guys physically look like. I was wondering maybe you could post a picture of your Facebook or something, and even if it's a drawing, special thanks to Ryan who does all your artwork. But I would absolutely love that. I was just kind of curious what you guys look like. I've listened to you guys for so many hours now. It's kind of weird that I don't know what you look like. So hope you guys are having a great day. I'm going to get to work and just cozy up with a nice book, I think. You guys have a good day.
Great voicemail.
The plants are going to love that voicemail, Patrick. You could go to search for us on YouTube. Search Michael Scott Podcast Company. We got some. We did our 100th episode.
Yeah, we have a few episodes up there, yeah.
Our 100th episode live special, which went off without any technical hitches, is up there. And you can see what we look like and watch us talk.
What we looked like a year ago. Year and a half ago.
Oh, God.
But it's
you're
just,
right.
It's funny that I imagine that a lot of our listeners kind of have this relationship with our show that they don't really know what we look like. And it's just kind of natural because we're not, it's not as if we are, we're not Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, for example. But
or any celebrity podcast, like, you know what they look like.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just, it's just funny that you know somebody's voice. I think you can go to YouTube. We do have Ryan did do drawings of us to promote that 100th episode special. Maybe I'll share that on our story, just our post again, so you can see that. And then we have a couple photos of ourselves on our Instagram as well. So we could reshare some of that stuff. I think we'll be together in Portland in September at some point. So we should take a little family photo.
I can't wait. That's going to be one heck of a weekend. We should probably talk about this offline, but you are going to be able to come?
I'll be in Portland at some point next month, but locking that in. So figuring all that out, but yeah.
Cool. But you can come to the bachelor party. Yeah. One night.
Probably. Okay.
I'll lock you in.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I'll take that as a definitely. Yeah.
We really want you to go.
Okay. But yeah, it's just funny. I guess, do you have other shows like that where you don't know what the hosts look like?
Oh. I've had shows like that for a while. I was like that for Reply All for a while back in its heyday. And then I was at a audio and radio conference and met both of them. So I saw them in person. Mm-hmm. That was cool. Other than that. No, I know. It's like, every podcast, I guess I know what everyone looks like.
There are a number of podcasts where I don't know what they look like for a while, or at least for a little while. And then, you know, you see something where there is always kind of that funny moment where it's like, huh, that's what they look like. Sometimes it's a podcast with two people and you see a picture of the two of them and you think you know whose voice is whose, but it's actually the reverse. That's happened to me a couple times. But it's funny. That's the beauty of the medium, I think. You can just kind of get to know people and spend this time with them without actually ever seeing them, which is pretty funny.
I guess I did. I listened to Fresh Air for like 15 years before I saw what Terry Gross looked like.
I mean, I guess for the longest time, I didn't know what most of the This American Life contributors look like outside Ira.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the contributors for sure.
Yeah.
Like guests and contributors. Mm-hmm. Most of the NPR hosts, I don't know what they look like. There's a couple that I do, but most I don't. NPR is kind of just a parade of faceless voices that are great voices.
Mm-hmm. That's what NPR stands for. Yeah. Parade of faceless voices.
Fundraising for this endless parade of faceless voices. Warm faceless voices. Mm-hmm. But so there you go, Patrick. Stalk us. Find us. I believe in you. You can figure out what we look like. Let the mystery keep going. Mm-hmm. I want to hear. I wish in your voicemail you'd just given us what you think, given us your mental picture of what we look like. I'll tell you what, I'll give you a couple hints. Sean's about 6'9", 280, just a unit, an absolute unit. He's a little bit bigger than LeBron James.
Stands out a lot on set. Yeah.
he's hard to hide in a crowd.
He's the enforcer. Yeah.
Yeah. He can pick me and Edwin up in each hand. No, we're all kind of the same size. Okay. That's
6'9", 280.
Yeah. We're all kind of the same size. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just giant. All right. Let's move on here to a voicemail from Anne. Is this from my wife?
Just you wait.
Boy, wouldn't that be a twist? Here we go.
Hey there, this is Anne from Dunder Mifflin, Central Florida. I'm a longtime caller, first time listener, and I just wanted to leave a voicemail with a bit of appreciation for y'all. I was listening back through the archives to episode 32, where you discuss Creed and Office Ladies, and y'all are lamenting the impending release of Office Ladies and joking that it's going to take all of the thunder away from your podcast. And I just wanted to say that, ironically, it was starting listening to Office Ladies that helped me find your podcast, because I was just craving more Office podcast content at that point. And it is fun listening to these older episodes because it is so cool to see how y'all have grown as hosts of this show. So I just wanted to call and say I hope that in the time since you made that podcast, the release of Office Ladies hasn't been all bad for the Michael Scott Podcast Company. And thanks for doing what you do. It's my pleasure to go back and listen to those old episodes. So have a good one.
Well, thank you, Anne. I think this is something we wanted to touch on. I think we've kind of alluded to this at other times in previous episodes. Hard to believe that was episode 32. The sort of irony is that if we thought there was any thunder coming from our show before Office Ladies, there wasn't. It was a slow, gentle rumble. And I think the opposite actually happened. And as I said, maybe we've told this before. But
yeah, we have.
But their release actually brought a lot of people to our show. And, you know, I think I'm grateful for them because it kind of created this appetite for Office podcast content. And there we were. Still pretty young in the whole life cycle of our show. But it definitely brought people to our show. And I think we do think, you know, obviously they have their own perspective from being a part of the show that we could never really match. But we do our own thing and we really enjoy it. So it's been good. It's been good. It's been ever since they came out. Yeah.
In fact, I think not that we were on a sinking ship when we put that episode out, but like their show provided a whole new side of life, like listener wise, numbers wise to our show that we could have never anticipated. Cause we thought, why would anyone listen to us when there's them? Mm-hmm. And I kind of always use the analogy of like, we were just kind of like out in the ocean floating there on a surfboard, nothing really going on. And like Office Ladies comes out and then boom, there's like this huge wave. And we just happened to be out there in the right place and just rode that wave like all the way. Cause, I mean, the numbers they get are insane. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're nothing compared to them, but there was just enough that like we were able to really get some footing and say, let's keep doing this. And again, that just, I think a lot of that came down to, and I would guess that this was Anne's experience, was that when you searched for Office Ladies in a podcast app, we had put out that episode the week that Office Ladies launched. And so when you searched for it, their show came up, and right next to it came our show. And we already had 30-some episodes there, and we were just teed up.
Actually, I think they released a trailer, like a one-minute trailer a week before. And we had we responded to their announcement, and we had Office Ladies in our title. But yeah, like you said, to use your wave analogy, it turns out they were the big Katunas after all.
There's got to be a band called Big Tuna. That's just too good. That's too good. All right. Well, thank you. We really appreciate the words, Anne. That's really nice. And we've had a few people tell us this. And it's funny because when listeners find our show, they'll often go back and listen to a lot of our back episodes. So they'll like sort of perpetually people finding us and listening to the back episodes and relating to those sorts of things. So it's nice. I think it's nice to talk about it every now and then. Like, why are we still doing this? And the reason Office Ladies is kind of why. Who knows how long would we have gone if we just stayed at like a few hundred listeners, you know?
I don't know. Right now, all I can think about is the time when you and I recorded without Sean and we talked about NBA playoff basketball in 2019.
Simpler times, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Different era.
All right. Well, thanks, Ann. Let's move on here. Next voicemail. Let's see. Oh,
an old
friend.
That's
a familiar name. That's a familiar name on the list. Let's go to it.
Yo, what up, Cynthia? This is Thaddeus from the Piney Woods of East Texas. Just calling to let you guys know that I'm sick of this podcast and I'm going to start my own. The Shroot, Bernard, Laughing, Vance, Stanley Podcast Company. And all our proceeds go to the colonel, a random colonel. I don't know which one, because it's the highest rank in the military.
I sure do love every few months just jumping in the stream of consciousness of Thaddeus and getting back out, drying off, waiting for the next dip. I love it. I just feel like I don't know why, I just always picture he's just in his truck and just has a thought and calls in right in the moment, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. I love that quote, too. That's one of the, I feel like one that isn't referenced often enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty darn good.
But just good to hear from our old pal Thaddeus.
Good to hear from you, Thaddeus. Yeah, anytime you got a question in there, you let us know. All right, let's go to the next one here from Linda.
Hi, guys. This is Linda. I'm calling from Riverside, California. I just finished listening to your Music Moment draft, and I wanted to make a musical-related comment and a question. First of all, the song that I was hoping you guys would say and you didn't was Little Drummer Boy. Not only Angela's rendition at the Christmas party with Dwight holding the microphone up to her mouth, but also the one in the pilot episode where he is singing it and he goes, it just cracks me up every time. And then my question is, at the end of every episode, you play, Steve Carell is singing the Office theme song, and then everybody joins in. And obviously, this is from some blooper reel, but I can't find it. I don't know which episode or which season is this from. Where is that from? Anyway, thanks a lot for your help. Bye.
Well, first, totally agree on the Little Drummer Boy. That's one of the, I think, one of the more iconic ones, especially from the early part of the show, and from the pilot.
Yeah, it's really good. We had several people write in that that was a oversight of ours. We knew the Music Moment draft was gonna hit some nerves with people, but it did.
But that's a good thing, because it means that people were engaged and that they had things that they felt passionately about, musical moments from the show.
Yep.
I totally agree. Actually did just see the other day that some, you know, someone on Instagram posted that, like, I guess Rihanna's been really quiet ever since this dropped, and it was Male Primadonna. Just the video from Male Primadonna.
Yeah. Anyway, to answer your other question here, Linda, so this is a outtake or blooper from season 4, I believe.
I think so. I don't know if
I think it's
head,
season 4. But yeah, it was just this clip. I think I saw it on some Twitter account that posts like Office bloopers and stuff way back when. And it was just a little blooper of like Steve Carell and then everyone singing. But I just, the kind of spirit of it was so emblematic, I feel like, of our show, and just like the way that they're all singing it together while kind of breaking that fourth wall felt really in tune with our stuff. And so I started putting that at the end of the show, because I used to put, like, I would find a music moment from whatever thing we talked about that episode and put it in. That became a little too laborious after a while, and then sometimes you start to get you know, Spotify will be like, you got to take that out or else the episode's going to get taken down or something, because they can hear that. So anyway, so now I just use that one every time. But I don't know where to find it. I don't have like a link or anything. I don't really even remember. Do you know where?
Well, it used to be on the DVDs for sure, in one of the
bloopers. Oh, Edwin has a DVD. He'll
believe it or not.
You.
But I'll we'll look at what's on Peacock. But if it's on season 4, it should probably still be there. But
search, yes. Just get on YouTube or somewhere, Reddit. Just search like, yes, Office season 4 cast singing theme. Like you'll be able to find some video of it. But if you need the audio of it, we have it at the end of every episode.
This is good. They ask us a question, we tell them to Google it.
you Google it. I mean, I found it. I like right away. I got to a list site that has the embedded video, but it says the video is private, unavailable, so it's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. So can't help you.
But I think we've had a few people ask us this question, so
yes,
wanted to mention it.
Yes. Well, yeah, we'll just give you the treasure map. You got to find it, though. But it's season 4 blooper somewhere in there. You'll find it. That is all.
It's like Dwight's treasure.
You always
or
give him an ultimate.
Dwight searching for the Holy Grail. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Indeed. Okay. Thank you, Linda. Shall we move on?
Yes, we can move on to a Cry Man Squaw FNC double time.
Oh, yeah. Please do.
I think many Office fans have seen this, but Brian Baumgartner, the man himself, is releasing a chili cookbook. It is called The Seriously Good Chili Cookbook, 177 of the Best Recipes in the World. It is available for pre-order now, and it releases in September. So I wanted to share that news. I think a lot of people have probably seen it. I think the announcement came out about a week ago, or a week before our recording here. And just exciting to see Brian Baumgartner. Really, shout out to Brian Baumgartner for I think embracing the Office legacy that he's a part of with his podcast, also with his cookbook. I feel like he's, I think as diehard Office fans, that's kind of what we would like to have from everyone in the cast. Obviously, everyone in the cast has their own career, life trajectory, what have you. But it's been really cool to see what Brian Baumgartner has done in the years.
He does seem exceptionally comfortable, like being Kevin and letting that be his most notable, you know, acting work. Where I think a lot of other actors, you know, they wouldn't want to stay in that, only being known as that, and want to do other stuff. And not to say that Kevin doesn't, or like Brian doesn't want to do other stuff, but he does seem very gracious and very comfortable and like down to earth and just like connected with himself about that. And he's talked about that, but yeah, he is very good at that. And it's funny that like how much he's gotten out of that one cold open, like out of the one chili scene that like was so close to being cut. Like you've heard Mindy talk about that, of like, it was a big debate in the writer's room of like, this is way too mean, let's not put it in. And they fought for it. And it's like, man, that's so, life is crazy. Those little things that, that happen. And it's like, yeah, now he's like, he would never have a cookbook probably if that scene wasn't included.
At least maybe not a chili cookbook, or maybe it's just a coincidence. But I think too, one thing that maybe helps a little bit is that the voice that he uses for Kevin is so different from his normal speaking voice.
Totally.
That I think when you see him talking to fans, like I saw a video of him talking to a young fan, presumably probably from DunderCon, maybe, who is dressed up as Kevin with the chili pot. And just the way that he speaks, you could tell immediately, like, oh, that's not, you can dissociate him from his character very quickly, I think, because the tone of voice is so distinctly different.
I'm a bit of a golf nut. I like golf a lot. Mm-hmm. And, I watch, there's a YouTube channel called Random Golf Club Films. They make really, really, really good videos, but it's a series. He's done two match plays versus Brian Baumgartner. And the videos are really well made, but you get a really good sense of like Brian as a person and, him playing golf, just like kind of in the episode. Cause Brian, he's a really good golfer. Mm. And even in the first video, Eric, the guy who hosts that channel, like right as Brian's going up to off his first shot, he's like, you know, I'm a little bit scared, man. Brian's good. Like, he's one of those guys. He just lives off residuals. He's got nothing to do but play golf. And watching that, I'm like, that would be my number one dream of like, if I could do anything with anyone from The Office, I would love to play golf with Brian Baumgartner.
I would go with the first thing. I would like to live off residuals with the rest of the cast of The Office.
Yeah, that would be cool too. But like doing an activity with any cast member, I would love to golf with Brian. It would be pretty darn amazing. Mm-hmm. And there's another question for another time.
I think I would play guitar with Ed Helms and
Ed Helms?
Rainn Wilson. Yeah.
And Craig Robinson?
Yeah, yeah.
Get him in there? Get the whole band? Yeah, that'd actually be really fun. Mm-hmm. To jam with the zits.
Yeah, or maybe, I mean, I could just, you know, slap my chest the way that Andy does.
Do some body work?
Yeah, exactly. The way that when all the instruments are taken. But yeah.
that's so funny. Good question. Thank you so much. Wait, that wasn't a question. We stopped doing voicemails. That was your
correct.
Own
yeah,
prompt.
That was my
thank
prompt.
You, Edwin, for that wonderful question. I'm a little bit on autopilot. Is that all? That's all we got, yo? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yes, that concludes this two-part voicemail spectacular. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for making it to the end of this episode. We want to hear from you. Please email us at mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. You can leave us a voicemail at 503-694-9314. And please jump the gun.
I was just switching pages and happened to click that.
If you want some bonus content, please
say, bitch?
Please join our Patreon. $5 a month, you get a bunch of bonus episodes. You get a mailbag episode every single month where you can submit questions that we'll answer. We donate part of the proceeds to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who does all of our artwork. The theme song was recorded by Alex and myself. This episode was recorded over video chat and not at Open Signal in a park, in a trailer in a parking lot.
Yeah. Have fun. Stay safe. See you next time. I don't know. What do you say?
Well, first, I say thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. We really mean it. We really appreciate it.
It means the world to us.
It's the world to us. And
take care.
Take care. Stay safe.
We'll see you next week.
World, this is my blood. It's red, just like yours. So love me.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da